Welcome to the Simple Life podcast, where I take complex health and fitness ideas and break them down into bite-sized, actionable behaviors to simplify your routine so that you can reap the rewards and live a healthy and fulfilled life. I'll also be talking to experts on various topics to broaden your horizons and make sure that you are up to date and across all of the ways that you can improve your fitness, nutrition, and stress management practices. Let's get into it. Welcome back to another episode of The Simple Life. Hope you guys had a nice Easter, enjoyed the long weekend. Maybe it was a little bit more relaxing than ours. We've got a couple of sick kids and a recently de-sexed dog, so it's been a little bit hands-on in the McIntosh-Romano household. But today's video, maybe a timely one, given that I've just been smashing eggs for a solid week, and I know lots of my clients have as well, so maybe the motivation to tidy up our nutrition is there. But today's video is all about how I set up a fat loss diet with clients, because I've just started a group nutrition program with 7 women, and last night we had the Zoom call where I ran through all the principles and I guess tactics, protocols, whatever you want to call it, on how I set up fat loss diets. And it's a little bit different to what I think is advertised. There's not a specific prescription. There's no meal plans. There's no set macronutrients. There is just an understanding of basic nutrition science and then how your own lifestyle can be kind of molded to fit that. So if you're hoping for, you know, like a magical smoothie or some kind of hack or trick, then you can stop listening now, because if you're here, you probably understand that that stuff doesn't exist. And if you still think it exists, then I would encourage you to go try and find it. Good luck if you do. Once you've exhausted the search, come back and listen to this, because you'll understand that what I'm about to tell you is basically the unsexiest but best way to lose fat as a busy professional or parent, when you cannot just overhaul your complete lifestyle to achieve a goal. You're not 22 anymore. You're not going to Europe this June. Or if you are, congratulations, but most of us aren't. Most of us will be here working, and being everything to everyone, as we do try and be. But this is basically the tactics where over a period of time, you'll be able to slowly implement change to your current diet to initiate a fat loss response. It's based purely on nutrition science, but also on behavioral science as well, because that's the really key part. Anyone can follow a specific protocol or diet for a period of time. However, what I always say to clients is I'm much less concerned about the results you get with me when we're actually working together. I'm far more concerned with the results that you get when I check in 2 years from now and you're like, yep, I've been able to maintain the change. I have absolutely zero interest in working with people who would like to lose 10 kilos only to gain it back. And I know, because I ask everyone, and sustainability always becomes front of mind when they say, well, I've got no interest in gaining the weight back. We've all been through that before. We've all yo-yoed a little bit, or we've done unsustainable practice for a period of time only to gain the weight back, which then leaves you a little bit jaded and frustrated with the industry and the process. So if you're looking to kind of break that cycle and you want to understand, you know, the actual real key inputs, movers, levers, whatever you want to call it, when it comes to changing your body composition, then we're going to get stuck right into it now. So, how to lose fat. Now, the absolute key, number one, king of all things, cannot be done without it, is a calorie deficit. What does that mean? So, nutrition science would say that energy balance is the king of changing your body composition. That means that the more energy you eat, if it's more than you are burning from day to day over a period of time, you will gain weight. If it's less than you are burning from day to day, you will break down your stored energy, your body fat, to use that as fuel to make up for that deficit. Now, some people will say like, oh, well, when I eat clean, I lose fat. That is because eating clean for a lot of people typically means eating leaner sources of protein. So that is protein sources that are lower in calories. So think chicken breast compared to a fatty slice of pork. and then eating a bunch of high fiber vegetables like broccoli, cauliflower, pumpkin, if you start to overhaul your diet that way, then a side effect of that, you will be in a calorie deficit. However, with a lot of the people I've worked with before, if we approach it from that way, as in if we focus on the quality of our ingredients first and foremost, then typically it can lead to an unsustainable practice where we set the bar a little bit too high. So by focusing first on being in a calorie deficit and then starting to make changes to our quality of ingredients to make that deficit easier to follow, then that tends to lead to a little bit more sustainable change. Because the theory basically is, well, I guess I could eat, 2,000 calories of junk, but if my resting metabolic rate is 2,500 calories, well, I'm going to be in a deficit. That theory is true, but that's a really poor way to go about your nutrition, obviously, because our health is more than just our body shape. And we need to have, mental clarity and focus and not just survive, but thrive. So there is certainly a healthy way to go about establishing the calorie deficit. That being said, you will not lose fat without one. So if you've made healthy changes to your diet before and then not lost weight as a result, you have no doubt improved your health, and I want to make that absolutely clear, but you may not see composition changes. That is because if you were eating 2,000 calories of junk and then you started eating 2,000 calories of great food, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're in a calorie deficit. Okay, you absolutely must be eating less than you need to sustain your current body weight. That is number one. And if that's all you take out of this podcast, that will still be more than you need to essentially be successful with your nutrition. It'll make you more aware of your intake. It'll make you more aware of what your current habits are. And it'll just give you a little bit more control over what you're going to do in the future. Okay, so once we've established a calorie deficit, and actually, let's do a quick exercise. If you've got no idea roughly how many calories you need to sustain your current body weight, and there's a bunch of factors that, activity level, sleep, menstrual cycle, all sorts of things that can really impact this. But let's just start with purely generally speaking. Take your body weight in kilos and multiply it by 30. So I'm 85 kilos-ish, multiplied by 30 comes to 2,550. Now, from there, if I was to establish a 20% calorie deficit, and you can do more, you can do less, I wouldn't recommend doing it too drastic. Like 20 to 25% is about as much as most people can handle for a sustainable period of time. Unless you're really quite okay with being hungry all the time. Most people aren't. I'm certainly not. And when it comes to, being able to repeat the process for long enough to see your desired result, it needs to be sustainable. So I would rather you diet for a little bit longer at a 10 or 15% calorie deficit than half the time at a 50% calorie deficit. It's much more sustainable and comfortable for most people. And we've all tried drastic changes in the past and they haven't quite worked. So embracing a little bit more of a slower sustainable change is actually going to yield you faster results anyway and much more sustainable results. Because every day that you spend prioritizing your health and changing your nutrition is basically another vote that you can do it long term. Whereas if I go hard in the paint for 28 days, that's not really giving me the proof of concept that I can actually do this for a long time. But if I make sustainable changes over 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, then I'm giving myself the proof and the confidence that actually I can do this for much, much longer. Okay, so once we've established the calorie deficit, so for me, 2,500, that brings it down to roughly 2,100 would be my goal if I was trying to actively lose fat. So in that number, what that does, that gives us context basically on all food labels that we see. Is because if you've got no idea of calories and you pick up a protein bar and it says 300, or how do you know if that's actually a good choice or not? Is because let's use a hot cross bun, for example. They're roughly 300 calories each, anywhere from 250 to 300 calories each. So if I was to have two of those and I was trying to eat 1,800 calories to lose fat, and then I was also adding about 300 calories of butter on top of that, I may decide that actually, in fact, to spend 50% of my daily intake on two hot cross buns and butter is potentially not wise. Now, on the flip side, I may also be okay with that, and that's totally up to you, but it does give you context around your choices. Okay, that is not to say that you can never have hot cross buns again. It is just to say that for the time being on this current goal, maybe it's the most optimal choice, but then it's in your hands. Okay, and we're not gonna wake up 2 months down the track and be like, why aren't I getting anywhere? Is because once you are educated and then empowered to make your own decisions, then you are in control of the outcomes, and that's super important. Okay, so once we have that starting point, that marker, then it's important to fill up as much of that kind of caloric allowance with foods that are going to keep us satiated, which means full, and basically going to give us as much energy as possible. So you need to be eating enough protein, because if you train in the gym, if you do resistance training, or if you're trying to balance your hunger hormones, as in not let yourself get too hungry in between each meal, which is super important. Anyone who's ever been on a diet before knows that hunger makes it really, really hard. So if you have a good serving of protein with each meal, that is going to slow down your digestion and slow down the release of energy into your bloodstream. Okay, so an example might be if you guys have toast in the morning and you normally have jam on your toast, that would be a roughly a 300 calorie meal. You guys know by 10 a.m. you're starving again. And that is because that meal is pretty much purely based up of carbohydrates. Now, if we were to have 3 hard-boiled eggs, which is a good serving of protein, and then have the same amount of toast and jam, you know, 20 minutes after that, or the 10 minutes after that, those eggs would actually slow down the release of the glucose into our bloodstream. What that means is that would curb your hunger through the morning. The meal would then go from 300 calories to about 450, 500. However, you wouldn't need a muffin at 10 a.m. or a snack or a suboptimal meal before you have your lunch. So it's almost like you're eating a little bit more early as like an investment in your hunger a little bit later on. And it's not almost, it's exactly what you're doing. Okay, so make sure you're having good balanced meals, and a balanced meal has a good source of protein. And if you would like to know how much protein to eat every day, again, take your body weight in kilos, multiply it by 1.5. That'll give you a really good starting point. There are variables that may make it more or less depending on the person, but if you've got no idea and you need a general starting point, 1.5 is perfect. Okay, and you can balance that out over 3 meals. Now, if you look at medicine journals and they say, well, actually you only need 0.7 grams per kilogram of body weight. Here's the thing you need to know. That's for pure survival. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I don't really want to live on like a bare minimum. I would prefer to be in a position where I'm actually making the most of my fitness, health. I have the most amount of energy and pretty much the highest quality of life possible. So the idea of eating just enough to have the bare minimum doesn't really appeal to me. I would much rather put myself in a position where I'm actually able to thrive rather than survive. So 1.5 is a really good starting point. Okay, now, once we're getting enough protein over the course of the day, we need to find out how active we are. Now, who here, raise of hands, unless you're driving, has thought, I need to lose some weight, I need to go to the gym. Now, that is not necessarily the most efficient way to start a fat loss journey. Now, I will say this, from an X's and O's perspective, it's not. However, from an accountability, motivation perspective, being around a supportive group of people, being in an environment where, you know, like better health physically, mentally is encouraged, is incredibly powerful. However, it's not quite having the impact on your pure fat loss results that you might think. You would be far better served to look for opportunities in your day to be more active through increasing your steps than you would be to actually try and like train harder or train more. Because in our daily metabolism, targeted exercise counts for up to 10% of our overall daily energy burn. Think about how much harder that hour in the gym is compared to the other 23 hours in the day, and it's only yielding up to 10% of your daily energy burn. Now, by no means am I telling you to cancel your gym membership. You should all be resistance training. You should all be trying to build yourself up to get as strong, as bulletproof, as resistant as possible to injury. Increases your bone density, increasing strength. Like, there are so many benefits to weight training that go beyond fat loss. Okay, but when it comes to fat loss, steps, general movement is a far better indicator of progress, because your non-exercise activity counts for up to 30 to 40% of your overall daily energy burn. That is massive. So when I coach clients, we always get an indication of where their current steps are. And you can, you know, like, I'm sure you guys have an activity tracker or a smartphone. And even if the smartphone's not perfect, it still gives you an indication of where you're currently at. But take your average over the past month and increase it by 20%. Okay, and the easiest way to get that up, especially at this time of year where the days are starting to get a little bit shorter, is not necessarily either side of the day, you know, as in walking in the morning or evening, but it's either at lunchtimes or it's on your commute. So, and you're like picking up the kids from school or jumping off the train or station early, something like that. Little hinges swing big doors, and just those small changes over the course of the day will add up to that 20%. We just need to be a little bit more active than you currently are. That's going to have a far bigger indicator on your results than training harder in the gym. Okay, train to build yourself up, and then we eat and move to kind of break down our stored fat. Okay, now, super underrated part of fat loss and the success of a fat loss diet is getting enough sleep. We have two hunger hormones in the body, ghrelin and leptin. Ghrelin is the hunger hormone. It gets released when our brain tells our body, our taste buds, our mouth that we need to have food. That's when we, you know, start to salivate a little bit, all those types of things. Those hunger signals get to, you know, their scent. If we don't sleep enough, our ghrelin and leptin balance, leptin being our fullness hormone, gets thrown out of whack. So we start to have more ghrelin in the system, which means that we feel hungrier all the time, which means that we're likely to eat more than we would normally. And all of you guys, especially those of you with newborns or those of you with young kids who are sick and they've kept you up for days, you guys would now know that you're heading to the fridge all the time. I just need something to get through the day. I just get the 3 p.m. munchies or the 10 a.m. munchies. I need something. Being aware of this does put you in a little bit more, in a little bit more of a position of control. But getting effective sleep for your hunger hormones is so underrated. I mean, obviously, the effects of sleep go far beyond fat loss. I mean, clearly, like recovering from workout, mental health, physical health, memory, just the general restoration of our, you know, of our physical and mental health is incredibly important from sleep. But this is a podcast about fat loss, so that's the context that's really important. When you get enough sleep, your ghrelin and leptin will then be working as most optimally as possible. Now, the other aspect of getting enough sleep is it does determine the type of weight you lose. Now, if you lose 10 kilos, it's never going to be 10 kilos of pure fat. There's also going to be an element of muscle lost. However, muscle is too hard to build only to lose it through not sleeping enough. If you are sleeping consistently under 5 hours a night, the ratio of muscle lost and fat lost can be 50-50. That is depressing. Now, if you sleep over 6 hours a night, the ratio of muscle lost to fat lost can be up to like 80-20, as in fat loss compared to muscle, or 90-10. So the more you sleep, the more of that weight you are losing is actually body fat compared to muscle. Okay, now considering how hard a lot of you guys train in the gym or how hard a lot of you guys are training in general, it would be really, really sad if your sleep habits were causing you to kind of lose all that hard work when it comes to muscle build. Okay, so get to bed. Now, a focus on recovery. As soon as we wake up, we are bombarded with stress. Okay, it makes things really hard. Like if I feel like I'm being reactive all day, I'm having to put out fires as opposed to starting them, it's a real drainer. Okay, so making sure that there are things in your day that are kind of filling up your cup, whether it be listening to a podcast, whether it just be reading 20 pages of a book, stuff that puts you in a really positive frame of mind, don't underestimate the impact that that will have on your general motivation over the course of the day. It'll make you feel more proactive. It'll make you feel more positive. And when we're in that frame of mind, we are far more likely to do things that are going to help further our health. Think about a time you've been really tired or really sad and it's all just felt really hard. Those probably aren't the days where you're taking time to cook, you know, an extra meal to take for lunch tomorrow, or you're taking the dog out on an extra walk, or you're going to the gym. However, when you feel like you're running on top of the ground and everything's going really well, those are the times that those extra habits feel really easy. So making sure that we're focusing on restoring our mental health through whatever means helps you do it is going to be super, super important for the longevity of your calorie deficit. Okay, so it's one of the most underrated aspects of nutrition is actually feeling good and feeling like you're in complete control of the outcomes. Like far too often, people will lean into self-control or discipline or a lack of motivation, when in fact what they should be doing is planning ahead and taking steps to make the correct behavior as easy as possible. And a lot of those steps are reliant on how we feel, how motivated, how confident, all of that stuff. Okay, so make sure that there's something in your day every day that is filling up your cup, because as soon as you wake up, you are just pouring into everyone else's. Okay, where possible, try not to have it just mindlessly scrolling on your phone, whether it be reading a book, taking a bath, playing some music, going for a walk, playing sport, anything like that. Something that's disconnected from technology, even better. However, let's start with baby steps, okay? There's always opportunity for growth with all of these, but making sure there's something in your day that is going to be filling up your cup, super, super important. It's about as woo-woo as I get because there's no measured outcome, but it's really, really valuable. Now, once you've established all these things and you're starting to see results, let's talk about a good rate of results. So in any one dieting phase, most experts recommend that you have a break after you've lost 10% of your body weight. Okay, so if I'm a 70 kilo mum, and I lose 7 kilos and I'm down to 63, that is when I would bring my metabolism up to a resting point and I would have maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks off the calorie deficit just to let my body hormones, you know, like my biology return to baseline. If I'm, you know, 100 kilo male or female, 10 kilos. So how long does that actually take? A good weekly rate of loss would be anywhere from 0.5 to 1% of your body weight. Now that is obviously super relative across a broad range. It means that, you know, you don't have to aim for a kilo a week. You don't have to aim for 500 grams. Everyone is totally different. That being said, as long as you're seeing progress in the direction that you're after, I wouldn't be too stressed about how quickly it's coming off. As long as you're moving in the right direction and you feel comfortable and confident in the routine, that is good enough for me. Okay, I would rather you lose the weight slowly than drastically quickly because, again, it is a better indicator of sustainability. All right, so that is basically how I would set up a fat loss diet. Again, this is generalizations only. There are nuances to each individual's lifestyle, their physiology, like everyone has their own unique challenges, but those are kind of the principles that I work under. Just a quick recap. Number one, establish a calorie deficit. Number two, make sure you're eating enough protein. Number three, increase your daily steps by 20%. Number four, make sure you're getting enough sleep to determine the type of weight you're losing, as well as restoring your hunger hormones to the correct balance. And number five, focus on restoring your mental health every day. Okay. Any questions, feel free to flick them through anytime. Hope you guys have a good week, and I'll see you on the next one.